In the 1982 assassination attempt by John Hinckley, President Reagan's daughter recounts how God was at work in her book, Angels Don't Die. I gave endless prayers of thanks to whatever angels encircled my father because a devastator bullet, which miraculously had not exploded, was found a quarter inch from his heart. The following day, my father said he knew that his physical healing was directly dependent on his ability to forgive John Hinckley. By showing me that forgiveness is key to everything, including physical health and healing, he gave me an example of Christ-like thinking. And so we look at that one phrase in the Our Father today, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Brown's commentary notes about this particular part of Scripture, and forgive us our debts is a vitally important view of sin as an offense against God demanding reparation to his dishonored claims upon our absolute subjection. As the debtor in the creditor's hands, so is the sinner in the hands of God. The forgiveness we seek is not so much the removal from our hearts of the stain of sin, nor the removal of our dread of God's anger, but rather the removal from God's own mind of his displeasure against us on account of our sin, the wiping out from his book of remembrance of all entries against us on his account. In fact, if you look at this particular part of Matthew 6 and read on from there, the theme of debtor comes up again and again in Jesus' teaching as he shares about the creditor and two debtors and the unmerciful debtor. And what we're basically hearing in this teaching from Jesus about our sins, our trespasses, our debts is simply this. Our debts will be forgiven as we forgive those indebted to us. Whatever that sin might be, whether it be a sin of gossip, deceit, any kind of financial slight or otherwise, maybe you just don't like them and they don't like you. There are multitudes of sins, aren't there? Multitudes of ways in which we walk in that. The reality is if we end up not forgiving them, I think, a lot of times because we don't want the relationship to change. You know, maybe we have been so hurt and so slighted by them, and maybe rightly so, you're angry at them, you don't want to forgive them. They've wronged you so badly that you don't want to let that go. And over a period of time, the relationship becomes entrenched in the place that it's at, that sin or that brokenness becoming the theme of the relationship because there's no reconciliation. And the reality for you and me as human beings is that once we become used to something like that, it becomes almost an unconscious habit. That's the way the relationship is. And maybe we have been so harmed and so hurt by them that we really don't want the relationship to change. And so I think it's important for you and me to be honest about why we are unable in some relationships and in some situations to forgive. Again, I believe we don't forgive because we don't want the relationship to change. It's interesting to me that in this prayer, Jesus puts this in. He could have easily left it out. Would have made life a lot easier for all of us. But every week, you and I, in praying the Our Father, are reminded, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And as I've thought and prayed about this, one of the things I believe is that Jesus intentionally put this in here. It was purposeful. And what Jesus is communicating to you and me is that our relationship with one another will affect our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And in fact, this is taught throughout the Scripture. It says, you know what, in bringing your gift to the altar, if anyone has an offense against you, go to that brother or sister and be reconciled to them and then come back to the altar. And so again, what God is saying to you and me in this part of Scripture is that before we can come to the altar, and I would say to you, before you come to the altar railing today, it is important to be reconciled in your heart toward that brother or sister in which there is some unforgiveness, where there is a debt that needs to be forgiven. The reality is that Jesus invites us to walk in the same love and holiness and mercy and forgiveness that he walks in. You see, during the service, that's the reason why before you even come to the altar railing, we have the confession of sin. Before you even come to the altar railing, we have the Our Father. These are all opportunities for you and me to get right with God, to confess our sins, and also to be right with one another. And so I believe that's the reason why Jesus has this phrase within the Our Father, is because he wants us to know that our relationships with one another are so important to him that unless there is a forgiveness between us, unless there is a healed connection, unless that relationship has been restored, we can't go to the altar and have fellowship with our Father. Now, the reality is all of our relationships are different, aren't they? Some people we'll be close to, some people we won't be close to. That's not what I'm talking about, and I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about unforgiveness. He's talking about anger at that unforgiveness. He's talking about where you're preoccupied with that person about what they did to you. You know, as soon as somebody mentions their name, you become hot. That's what Jesus is talking about. And he's inviting us into the mercy that he walks in with us. Now, some of you may be saying to yourselves, Father Joe, you just have no idea. If I were to tell you, which I'm not, but if I were to tell you what this person did to me, you would completely understand why there is no way I will ever forgive them for what they did to me. Well, you might be surprised. But I've been a priest now for 31 years. I was in the Navy for 4 years. And for those of you who have been in the service, let me just say that I have heard some things that if I were to tell you, I could guarantee all of you would turn about 10 shades of red. Now, I have a stole on. I'm a priest. Obviously, that's all under the seal of the confessional. I would never let anybody know those things. But you would be surprised at what I have heard in confession. You would be surprised at what we as human beings are capable of doing. And as much as you have seen and heard on the evening news, there are things that I am just grateful you have not heard that have taken place that are dark. I mean sinful. I mean evil. And thank God for his mercy. Thank God for Jesus' death on the cross for our sins. I just am so grateful that our song is one of mercy and grace and not doom and gloom. But I simply share that with you here today that however much you might feel like, you know what, there is no way I can let this go because it is just so unique and so special to me. Well, I don't want to minimize what has happened to you. I'm going to come out to you for a moment. I don't want to minimize the hurt and the pain that has occurred to you. But I also want to let you know you would be very surprised how much you're not alone. Whether it's sexual abuse, whether it is somebody gossiping about you behind your back and telling lies, whether it is stealing from you financially, whether it is trying to kill you, whatever they might have been done to a friend of yours or to a child or to yourself, you're not alone. I just want to let you know that. And you see, that's one of the beauties of being invited into forgiveness, is that as much as you and I might feel alone in the pain of what has occurred to us, the minute that you and I are able to come into this place of saying, Lord, you know what? I didn't want to hear this today in this message, but but since I'm hearing it, I just feel like there's no way in my heart I can forgive this person. But can you help me to begin to get to the place of mercy and forgiveness? You see, one of the beauties of this invitation from the Lord to forgive is that as much as you might feel alone, as much as you might feel like nobody has ever experienced what I've gone through, what you can do as you come to the Lord in prayer with this is that you can connect with the Lord, you see. And then immediately at that moment, guess what? You're no longer alone. What happens is when you and I wall ourselves off from everybody else, including God, that unforgiveness, that hurt, that pain grows like a sore, a wound. And it doesn't heal. It only gets worse. And it won't heal until you come to the light and the grace and the mercy of Jesus. so that he can bring healing to that as you forgive that person. Well, Father Joe, they haven't apologized to me yet. How can I forgive them if they haven't apologized to me? How can I forgive them when they're probably not even sorry about it? They're so thick. They're as thick as a brick. They'll never see it. And I've known people like that too, by the way. It's not about them. It's about you. You have absolutely no control over them. God doesn't even have control over them. Hello. Free choice. Free will. But you see, God is inviting you to experience his mercy. God is inviting you to experience the joy of forgiving someone who might not even be looking for forgiveness. God does it every day. God is inviting you to participate in the very nature of his heart and the nature of his love as he has done toward you, that you might be set free, that you might be healed, that you might be liberated, that you might be touched and brought to wholeness in the very depth of your spirit. And as you do that, let me just say this. My experience has been, as you make that step in faith, the spiritual atmosphere in your life changes. There's a spiritual change that happens to you. First of all, that weight will be lifted from your heart. That unforgiveness and that pain and that hurt and that struggle will be lifted from you. There will be a healing ointment. It's called in the scripture, the balm of Gilead, will be poured upon your soul. And the infection and the poison and the virus and the bacteria and all of the gunk that was in your spirit up to that point will begin to be healed by the Spirit of the living God. And later on today, if you take me up on the Lord's offer this morning, later on today, as you're walking along the Gulf of Mexico, along Naples Beach here, you'll look up at the sun, but you won't just see the sun in the sky, you'll see the Son of the living God. And you'll realize, my gosh, there's something lighter about me right now. I'm feeling like a huge weight has been taken off of my shoulders. I'm not thinking about that person anymore. In fact, I'm smiling right now. That's what I'm talking about. That's what Jesus wants to give you and me in place of the bitterness and the unforgiveness that we're living in. Your forgiveness of another affects God's forgiveness of you. That's the deal. Your forgiveness of another affects God's forgiveness of you. And for those of you who have been coming over the past few weeks, and I've had a chance to share with you about the kingdom of light versus the kingdom of darkness, how much evil is breaking forth in this hour, and destruction and killing, and that God is calling us as his people in this moment to be the kingdom of light, to be his brothers and sisters, to be his redeemed of the Lord, and to bring heaven upon earth. And let me tell you, one of the most wonderful, incredible, life-changing ways that you and I can bring heaven on earth is to forgive another person. Let me tell you something. Sometimes forgiveness is hard for me, depending on what the person did. There have been times in my life where I've had to pray what I suggested you pray. Lord, I cannot forgive this person. I don't want to forgive this person. I want to kill this person. It's not, what you're talking about is not even on my mind. I want to kill them. That's where I'm at. How about that, God? How about just look the other way for a moment and it'll be okay? How about when I pray the Our Father, I just won't pray that part of the prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I'll just leave that out. God didn't say that was okay. And so I began to pray, Lord, please give me the grace to begin to forgive. I'm just not there. Don't even want to be there. But would you please give me the grace? And by his grace, grace alone, I was able to forgive that person. I actually went to the person and said, you know what? I forgive you for what you did to me. And they said to me, you know what? That's not you. I know you. You don't forgive like that. I said, no, that's not me. That's right. I don't forgive like that. I didn't want to forgive you for that. But God's grace within me and God's love with me compel me to forgive you and to speak love to you. And you see, that's a whole new way of living. That's a whole new way of grace. And that's exactly what God is calling the body of Jesus into in this moment. Beloved, think of our brothers and sisters in Aleppo, Syria. We've heard Jamie's testimony of this community of Christians in a place that's bombed out and obliterated. And they're going back to that city that is destroyed, where there are factions warring from all over the world over that little piece of property because it's so strategic in the natural and I think the supernatural as well. And God has called his people into that place to go back and to be a witness to his love. And the Muslims and the others in that area are coming to this community in faith and saying, we want what you have. We want what you have. We want that love. We want that mercy. We want that forgiveness. And that's the community. That's the kingdom of heaven coming down here upon the earth right now. Believe me, as the kingdom of heaven breaks forth in this present darkness, the people are going to know there's something different. They're going to be hungering for it. They're going to want it. They're going to need it. They're going to desire it because their lives are so full of darkness and hopelessness and doubt that they'll need the light and the love of Jesus in this moment. Yeah, it's true. In closing, I'm sure many of you have heard of the bridge over the River Kwai. It was actually a strategic location where the Japanese forces forced the Allied POWs to rebuild a railroad, of all things. The Japanese soldiers committed many atrocities in that process and ended up killing 16,000 Allied soldiers, building what was termed the Death Railway. After World War II, a former Japanese officer named Mr. Takashi went on a personal campaign to persuade his government to admit the atrocities that were committed there. After years of effort, a brief ceremony was held in 1995. On one side of the bridge were 50 Japanese soldiers, teachers, and school children with notes of apology. On the other side of the bridge were Allied soldiers, two Brits and an Aussie, a daughter whose father had been there, and the son of a POW. The two groups walked to one another to the center of the bridge, exchanging handshakes, hugs, tears, and notes. How beautiful. How awesome. God and the spiritual world have been waiting for that moment for a long time. Forgiveness transformed a place of atrocity into God's mercy. And beloved of God, again, I would invite you along with me as we pray the Our Father, as we consider this part of that prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. God is calling us as his people in this moment to be part of bringing the kingdom of heaven here upon this earth. And one of the most beautiful ways that you and I will do that is as we walk in mercy and forgiveness toward those around us and be vessels of God to bring light into this present darkness.